Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Friday, June 23rd, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and we are joining the White House for a live press briefing with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre on issues of the day, among them reproductive rights and job creation. Let's join her now at the podium.
And the lowest current inflation among the world's leading economies. So we'll have more to share on his speech in the days ahead, and we'll have a week ahead later today for all of you as well. And finally, I do want to speak to something that we all watched very closely the last couple of days. Before I get started, wanted to say a few words about the submersible. Our hearts go out to the families and the loved ones of those who lost their lives on the Titan. They have been through a tragic ordeal over the past few days, and we are keeping them in our thoughts and prayers. We would also like to thank the United States Coast Guard, our Canadian, British, and French partners, and everyone who participated in the search and rescue efforts these past couple of days. This whole effort has been a testament to the skill and also the professionalism that the men and women who serve our nation continue to show each and every day. With that, as you all know, the Admiral is here to join me at the podium to speak to any questions that you may have after the Prime Minister's visit yesterday and any other foreign policy matters that you all may have questions on. Admiral, the podium is yours.
I think, as you know, Prime Minister Modi just concluded a very successful official state visit here to the White House. This morning, the President and the Prime Minister dropped by a meeting between senior officials and CEOs of American and Indian companies gathered to discuss innovation, investment, and manufacturing in a variety of technology sectors, including artificial intelligence, semiconductors, and space. And I think you received a list of all the attendees earlier today. And now, over the course of this visit, President and Prime Minister Modi reaffirmed that the partnership between the United States and India is deeper and more expansive than it's ever been. And when we think about the future, not only of this relationship, but of the critical emerging technology, countering climate change, global health, energy security, food security, there's just simply no partner that's going to be more consequential to helping solve those problems than India. And that's exactly what President Biden made clear during this visit. And as you all saw yesterday, or hopefully you saw, pretty robust set of deliverables on all of those fronts. Very, very specific, very tangible deliverables that we're looking forward to carrying future with India. And then, as both leaders reaffirmed, our countries are choosing to work together to truly work closely and cooperatively towards a more prosperous, secure, and healthy future, not only for the Indo-Pacific, but for the world. Answer questions.
Thanks, John. A couple questions. You mentioned, we saw yesterday the President and the Prime Minister held a one-on-one interviews room instead of the usual two-and-two. Can you speak a little bit to the conversations, the negotiations that went on in advance of that unusual meeting the Prime Minister had at a press conference, but for it not to be a U.S. standard of two, why did the White House not push for it to be two questions each leader?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the sausage making on this. I mean, we had good discussions with the Indians as we were preparing for this visit. We felt it was important for President Biden, certainly for both leaders, to be able to talk to you guys, read out their discussions, and take some questions. And we're glad that Prime Minister Modi and his team felt the same way.
And then, secondly, Jake's travels this weekend, played his meetings with the BRICS minus Russia and China officials from Brazil, India, and South Africa. Give me a preview of what to expect from that conversation.
I don't have travel to really read out or talk to today. I would just tell you that that Jake especially, but all of us here on the national security team work closely with the Ukrainians almost every day, whether it's talking to them about security assistance or whether it's talking to them about this idea of a just peace and the principles behind that and how you get that. And those conversations are ongoing and we'll continue to conduct them, not only with the Ukrainians, but with allies and partners alike.
Hey, John, China's complaining that the president's description of Xi as a dictator is a
provocation. Could you walk us through the president's thinking on this comment?
Well, the president, I think, walked you through that himself yesterday, Steve. We're not bashful about speaking plainly about some of the concerns and issues that we have with the PRC and with the challenges that they propose. And the president is very forthright in the way he addresses those challenges and the complicated nature of this relationship. But it is an important relationship, and you heard the president talk about that yesterday as well. It's one of the most consequential bilateral relationships in the world today and likely will be going forward. And that's why it was important to see Secretary Blinken make that trip to Beijing. That's why we're in discussions with the PRC about potential follow-on visits by cabinet officials. We'll see where that goes. But more critically, that's why we want to make sure we can keep the lines of communication open. And as the president said, he has every expectation that we'll be able to do that.
And you see India as a counterweight to China?
This state visit wasn't about China. And look, India has challenges with China as well. Right on their doorstep, but also more broadly in the region. And clearly the challenges presented by the PRC to both our nations were on the agenda yesterday, no question about that. But this wasn't about leveraging India to be some sort of counterweight. India is a sovereign, independent state. They have their own foreign policy that they have to manage, and they live in a tough neighborhood. They are becoming an increasing exporter of security, which we welcome. And you can see a lot of that, our desire to improve the defense cooperation on hand yesterday and some of the deliverables, whether it's co-production of jet engines, whether it's their purchase of MQ-9 drones. There's a lot we can do in the security front together, and that's really what we're focused on.
Thank you. So, John, just to follow up, you're saying that the U.S. does not view India as having any role in its overall competition against China.
I didn't say that. I said that we're not viewing India as a counterweight to China, and we weren't approaching the state visit as some sort of messaging opportunity to China. It was about sending a message to the American people and the Indian people about how important this bilateral relationship is, quite frankly, to people around the world. India has challenges with China on their own, and they address those challenges largely on their own. Now, I will add that they are a member of the Indo-Pacific Quad and have been a terrific contributor through that multilateral forum. It's not a formal alliance. It's not, you know, it's not a military organization. But they have legitimate concerns in the Indo-Pacific that they're addressing through their own vehicles as appropriate.
And just to follow up on Steve's question, the president was so confident in saying that his dictator remark had no impact and no real consequence on the work that the U.S. and China continue to do to try to find, a place of compromise and competition. China's reacting differently, so why is the president saying so confidently that his remark had no real consequence?
Because he believes it. And we're still in communication with the PRC about moving this relationship forward. That's what we're focused on. And every indication that we're getting is that that's what the PRC wants to focus on as well.
Thank you. Hi, Joe. The UN is saying that the violence in the West Bank might get out of hand, and the Israeli settlers' violence against Palestinians, including American Palestinians, as you know, in many villages in the West Bank, their houses have been burned down to the ground. Your own ambassador said that we cannot stand by and watch. So what does it mean? What practically, how does the White House translate this?
Well, look, we've certainly seen reports now of U.S. citizens at risk and potential victims here, having come victims of some of the violence, and we're actively engaging with the government of Israel about that. Several U.S. government officials visited the West Bank and met with the victims of this violence in a place called Termasiah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and consular officials have been providing assistance to U.S. citizens as requested, so we'll continue to stand ready to do that. Look, I'll say it again for the, I don't know how many times, we condemn all acts of violence. We certainly extend our condolences to the families of those that were affected. We issue a speedy recovery for those that were injured, but the violence isn't helping reduce the tensions at all. And when you have a situation like this, leadership is really required, leadership on both sides to stop the violence and to be demonstrable in doing so, so that the tensions can be turned down. And that's what we want to see.
Thank you. During the National Security Minister spoke today at a settler outpost, and he urged Israeli settlers to expand their activities to be included in all of the West Bank mountains. Despite of the violence that you just talked about and the international calls to hold settlement buildings, we're still hearing this from high officials from the Israeli cabinet. Why do we still hear this, and does the White House condemn actions and calls like that?
We have been clear and consistent that we do not support additional settlement activity. Our policy with respect to settlements has not changed and will not change. And we have been very consistent in communicating that directly to government officials in Israel. I can't speak to their comments or why they're saying what they're saying. That's a better question for them. I can just tell you that our policy on settlements has not changed, and there's not going to be a change to it.
So questions about the trip to Copenhagen tomorrow. Some countries that will be there, like Brazil, for example, are saying that both sides will have concede in order to have a peace plan to work. So what does the National Security Advisor want to accomplish when he's meeting representatives of Brazil, India, South Africa, and Turkey? And does the White House believe some progress can be made during this weekend?
My answer is going to be pretty much the same. I don't have any trips or travel to speak to here from Mr. Sullivan. I just tell you that we routinely have engagements of all different varieties with the Ukrainians and with our allies and partners about trying to seek a just peace and to discuss the peace principles around that. We'll continue to do that.
And just one more question very quickly, if I might. So the United States and Russia have requested from Brazil the extradition of a Russian spy who is in jail there. Is the United States seeing him as a potential candidate for a prisoner swap deal to free the Wall Street Journal reporter, Evan Gerkovich? Is this being considered?
No, I'm afraid I don't have any context for you on that at all, but just broadly speaking, what happened that you saw yesterday, Evan's appeal was denied. Not surprising, but just another example of the egregious nature of the so-called justice system in Russia. Nothing's going to change about our efforts to try to get Evan and Paul Whelan home to their families where they belong.
On Taiwan and India, what does the U.S. expect India's involvement would be at this point if China were to invade Taiwan?
That's up to the Indian government, Prime Minister Modi, to determine.
You can't say anything about whether anything was discussed along those lines?
As I said earlier, clearly our mutual challenges with the PRC and the Indo-Pacific was a matter of discussion. The Indians have been very vocal about their concerns, too, with respect to what the PRC is doing. But I don't have anything more specific to read out to you in terms of the conversations specifically regarding Taiwan. All I can tell you on Taiwan is our policy has not changed.
On the adventure tourism vessel that was headed for the Titanic, if the Navy had audio suggesting that it had imploded, was that communicated with all the partners that you had that audio? Or
the Navy did pass on to the incident commander the acoustic data that they had received, but they were also quick to make clear that they couldn't be definitive about what that data meant, and they couldn't be clear that that data was connected to the Titan, to the submersible. But they did pass that information up to the incident commander, as you would expect they would, and I'm sure that that was factored into the search plan in some way, but I'd refer you to the Coast Guard to speak to specifics.
Any concerns that resources were wasted in searching the area the size of Connecticut?
No. I think the Coast Guard has spoken definitively about this and quite well every day here, or at least every day till we got the tragic news, that there was an awful lot of effort put into trying to locate the Titan. Look, when you're in a search and rescue operation, particularly at sea, particularly in deep sea, I mean, time is not your friend. And I think you can see from the way in which this was put together in a pretty quick fashion with a lot of resources from, as Corrine mentioned, from multiple countries, there was a tremendous effort put forward to try to find the Titan as quickly as possible, knowing that time was not going to be anybody's friend.
John, when the President said yesterday he expects to meet with President Xi in the future, near term, can you define what that means? Should we expect that by the end of the year?
Near term? I don't have any more specific for you than that. The president will absolutely get together with President Xi again in a bit at the appropriate time. I just don't have anything for you on that.
And was the president satisfied yesterday with Prime Minister Modi's answer on human rights concerns in India?
The president was satisfied that he had the opportunity to discuss concerns over human rights with Prime Minister Modi, and he did, as he always does. We don't shy away from discussing human rights with foreign leaders, and one of the reasons you have partnerships and friendships is so that you can be honest and direct. I think he addressed that pretty well in his answer to you guys.
John, the president said yesterday that he doesn't believe his China comments have had any consequence. Isn't China issuing a demarche to the U.S. ambassador in Beijing a consequence?
If demarches issued by nations against other nations were some sort of bellwether for whether a relationship was collapsing or in any danger, my goodness, Jeremy. A demarche is a demarche that happens all the time. I'm not going to get into the specifics. The president's firm that this relationship matters. It's important. We need to move it forward, and he's absolutely confident that we'll be able to.
Let me ask you this. Other than the march, have you seen any other consequences?
No.
In the relationship?
No.
And then secondly, the president in his comments at that fundraiser, he also revealed the U.S. intelligence assessment that she was not aware of the spy balloon flying over the U.S. in February. What was the strategic value of disclosing that intelligence at a fundraiser?
That wasn't a disclosure. That's been in the public domain.
Not on the record from any...
Yeah, it was. A senior defense official had talked about it before on the record that was a possibility. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Corrine. Hi, John. Honestly, I'm a little confused why you're not confirming Jake Sullivan's trip to Copenhagen, but especially because it's been reported by other countries' media who is attending. But let me try this way. Can you specify the kind of request that was made by the president to Prime Minister Modi in terms of supporting or getting the support of global South countries for Ukraine? And also on that note, did the president and the prime minister discuss whether President Putin will be welcome at the G20 in New Delhi?
I don't have anything additional to speak to with respect to the G20 and how that's shaping up. That's really for our Indian counterparts to speak to. And I'm not going to get into any greater detail on the discussions than what the two leaders talked to you guys about from the podium. And as for Jake's travel, if and when we have some travel to talk to, then by goodness, we'll talk about it.
Okay, and one more question on the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. There's a little bit of confusion. I think President Zelensky is saying, or was said yesterday, that Russia is plotting a terror attack on the nuclear power plant. President Putin today is urging the International Atomic Energy Agency to ensure that Ukraine does not attack the power plant. What is the administration's understanding on this? What's your assessment? And are there anything that you're doing in particular to that?
We're continuing to monitor it closely. We are able to monitor some radiation sensors that are around the plant, and thus far we've detected no elevated levels of radioactivity.
Do you have any sense of who's going to attack, if anyone is?
Look, I've seen those reports. I've seen those comments. I just don't have anything to confirm them or speak to the validity of them. The only other thing I'd say, and we've said this before too, is that I think we should all be able to agree that a nuclear power plant is not a great site for military operations one way or the other.
Gotcha.
John, just on the issue of Russian oil, does the president come out of this meeting with Modi with the belief that India may actually reduce its purchases of Russian oil, and to what extent did that come up in their conversation?
India has to make its own choices about oil purchases. And we hope that we can continue to see that they purchase Russian oil at or below the price cap as they have been.
And just on NATO, the president's going to be leaving in a couple of weeks. Where do things stand in terms of, you know, his effort to help Sweden become a member of NATO? Should we expect a call with Erdogan in the coming weeks?
There's conversations ongoing between the Swedish government and President Erdogan. We have been encouraging those conversations to continue. It's important for them to do that. And as the president has said, he's confident that the two nations will be able to come to an accord and will be able to welcome Sweden as the 32nd ally in NATO. I couldn't begin right now to give you like a time frame of what that's going to look like, when and under what circumstances. But the fact that they're still talking is a good thing. And again, the president remains optimistic.
Thanks, Kelly. John, in light of what's happening in the West Bank, many scholars believe that the two-state solution option is not viable. Yes, you are suggesting that it is viable. The question is, what, you didn't do anything actively to revive the talks between the Israeli and the Palestinians. Why? And I have another question.
We have been engaging both sides. When the president visited last summer, he met with Palestinian leaders as well as Israeli leaders, and we have followed up through diplomatic channels ever since then. And we're not walking away from the belief in a viable two-state solution. We absolutely still believe that that's possible. So I just actually take issue with the, you know, with the implication in the question that we're not, that we don't care about this, or we're not following up on it, or that we're not engaging. We absolutely are.
Can you please confirm that the State Department informed the government agency that scientific and technical cooperation with Israel beyond the Green Line is not consistent with the law?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yes. The State Department informed all the government agencies that scientific and technical cooperation with Israel beyond the Green Line is not consistent with the law. Can you confirm that?
I can't. I don't have anything for you on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Colleen and Jackie John. I have two questions, one on China, one North Korea. If President Biden does not apologize for the dictator's remarks to China, today Chinese government announced that it will use other methods, and China would not exert influence on North Korea issue, how will you let policy be and take action on North Korea? North Korea continues to develop the nuclear missile and using cryptocurrency and cyber hacking. What action is the United States taking currently, and what was specifically discussed at the U.S. South Korea cyber security talk this week?
Well, I make it a habit not to talk about cybersecurity talks very much, for good reason. But on your first question, look, we know that Beijing has influence in Pyongyang, and we continue to urge them to use that influence. We continue to urge them to actually implement the UN sanctions that have long been in place on North Korea's program, and we continue to urge China to take a broader, longer view here of the challenges that are presented by North Korea's burgeoning program, both their ballistic missile program and their nuclear ambitions.
Do you think the president will be going to apologize?
The president was very clear yesterday that he'll continue to speak forthrightly and bluntly about the challenges that we face with the PRC. He will also continue to speak bluntly and forthrightly about the opportunities that are still resident in that relationship and trying to move that relationship forward.
The State Department said that they organized a meeting earlier this month in Cairo with other nuclear powers, including Russia. I was curious if you could tell us what was accomplished during those couple of days. I know Russia was involved, representatives from the...
Yeah, so look, this is a routine continuing dialogue. We just happen to be the chair of these nuclear nations, nuclear armed nations, and it's done at a working level. This one was in Cairo earlier this month. We chaired it. It was a good opportunity. The State Department put the statement out. I'd certainly encourage you to talk to them, but you know, it was a good opportunity for dialogue about nuclear safety protocols and procedures. It's done at a working level.
But it's not like a precursor to any like broader talks. Is it like
it is a
new treaties or anything like that?
No, it's a routine process. We happen to be the chair, and we convene the meeting as the chair of this working group, and it is at a working group level.
Jason, so back to India. This push for American companies to do more business, in India, is that a way to move away from China?
Who to move away from China?
From the U.S. Is pushing U.S. companies to do business in India a way to move those companies away from China?
It's a way to encourage mutual investment with India.
Thanks. President Zelensky said this week that the pace of the counteroffensive is moving slower than desired. Is the administration concerned right now about the pace and what you guys are seeing and hearing from talking with Ukrainian officials?
We're focused on making sure that the Ukrainian armed forces have everything that they need to be successful. War is unpredictable, and the enemy gets a vote. And I'm certainly not going to get up here and speak to Ukrainian offensive operations. They should be the ones to do that. But I don't think that they went into this with some sort of false sense of confidence about how tough it was going to be. It's not as if the Russians, and we talked about this many times from here, that the Russians were preparing for this, throwing bodies at the problem set, putting in additional forces, building defense lines, sometimes three lines deep. It's not as if the Russians weren't preparing for defense, and defense is a strong form of war. And, you know, the Ukrainians are fighting through this. I think we just all have to recognize that combat can be unpredictable, and sometimes your plans don't always go exactly the way that you expected them to, but that's what's expected when you're in combat. What we're going to focus on, again, is making sure that they can be ultimately successful.
All right, James, and then behind you, the last word. But James, go first.
Karine, thank you as always. Admiral, thank you. The House Ways and Means Committee yesterday released documents, their authenticity nowhere challenged. That included a July 2017 WhatsApp message sent by Hunter Biden to Henry Zhao, a Chinese Communist Party official, which stated in its entirety, and I quote, "I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father," unquote. So just a couple of questions about this. First, does this not undermine the president's claim during the 2020 campaign and the reaffirmations of that claim by his two press secretaries since then, that he never once discussed his son's overseas business dealings with him?
No, and I'm not going to comment further on this.
James, let me save you some breath.
If you're going to ask about this, I am not addressing. I know you do more than I'd like you to have. I am not going to address this issue from this podium. I'm just not going to do it.
All right.
I'm not going to do it.
Thanks,
guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Zeke, you want to kick us off?
Thanks, Reid. Just following up on John Kovacs, the president's press secretary. Does the president continue to, would you say that Xi Jinping is a dictator? Is that the official position of the U.S. government?
Look, the president spoke for himself. I'm just not going to go beyond what he said. John just spoke to it, and then...
And that was a press conference at the White House. And, of course, as you can hear, there are certain issues that will not be discussed from the podium during a White House briefing. And that's that. You've been listening to On Air Daily News for Friday, June 23rd, 2023. I'm Naima Latif. Join us again on Monday. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy your weekend.